Blog Talk Radio.
Lord.
I don't even know why.
It wasn't getting on my nerves. I was just like, oh my God.
Oh. I love that. Okay, if it's not getting your nerves, let's start it again. Ready?
Oh, no. See, now I will cut you. No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Help! Help!
There you go.
That's what I get for. I deserve that. I did.
Yes, you did. That was awesome, though. All right, boys and girls and squirrels and I don't know, all other cool stuff. I'm tired. It is daytime again. And it's July 3rd, 2013. Tomorrow is July 4th. That's right, boys and girls. And I'm having to censor myself as I talk because, you know, my usual words are not clean. So... it is daytime, there's sunlight outside, I'm tired, but I love Corey, so that's why I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's nice to be loved.
I'm Snow White, for those of you that don't know. I'm usually just the nighttime gal, because I'm... Did you see the look on my face?
Yes, I did. I know that look. It was a smirky, bitch, please look. You see, I'm trying to talk. Yeah, I know that look.
I'm usually just a nighttime gal because I'm usually not safe for work. Seriously, I'm not. Like, words just come out. My cat just sneezed. That was weird. Okay. And we also have our boss lady up in the hizzle who, you know, rules us with an iron fist. I have Corey / Gamanatrix here as well. Hello.
Good morning to all you, and happy birthday to Alba Fraser there on Facebook, who turned 19 today. So young.
Gosh, I feel old.
I don't. I still feel 19.
I don't. I feel old. Get off my lawn!
Speaking of which, you wait till I catch up to you in Plants vs. Zombies. I'm tired of you sending your zombies to my town. I don't bother you.
I only did it twice. That's it. And that was because it was part of a quest.
Uh-huh. Sure, that's what they say. It's part of the quest. I only stabbed you in the eye because somebody had... I had to. No.
No, really. You're like my only neighbor. So I had to... And it said you had to send zombies to a neighboring town. And...
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I saw yours failed. That was nice. That was funny.
Actually, it did fail. I stopped halfway through because I wasn't trying to. I was like, it's like, here, click here, send zombies. I was like, oh, I thought it said flowers. Wait a minute.
That's all right. You can attack my town. I've kind of stopped playing the game because I'm at the point now where it's just, it's like you require all this crap and I just don't have time for it. I just have no patience.
Well, I'm sad to report that my first virtual family, the mother and father, have passed away. But their son, Linux, and yes, that is his name. And no, I did not name him that. He was born named Linux, just like the operating system, which I thought was cool.
That's awesome.
Has gotten married to some chick who is goth, really odd. And they have two children. Yes, I'm happy to report. In case y'all want to know.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
I know y'all need us to bring you the gaming news.
And that is definitely news right there. Let me tell you. Yep. Uh-huh.
Now, might I jump in here because we have to give some love
to someone.
Wait a minute. What just happened here? I love when our blog talk page decides to switch in the middle of me doing something. Don't you love that?
Yes. That happens a lot, actually.
I'm going to need them to stop doing stuff like that, BT. Are we trying to run a show here? We're already unprofessional.
Imagine how all boring right. our show would be if we were professional, though. Come on.
Wait a minute. I need some papers to shuffle. Hold up.
There you go.
Hey. Okay. So, Snow is not used to this segment because she's usually at night, but we usually do this when we run across exceptional women or women who are about to do something amazing. So we ask the question, who run the world?
Girl, we run this mother. Yeah. Girl, we run this mother. Yeah.
All right, so who is running the world today? One Miss Julie Larson Green. Who is that, you say? Well,
who is that? Who is that, Corey? Tell me who that is.
Is the senior vice president, and Windows head Julie Larson Green is going to be taking over Don Matrick's job since he decided to jump ship. This is according to Bloomberg. The report states that Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer may give Larson Green control over the hardware engineering within the company, including Xbox One, Surface, and Windows Phone lines. Work. Microsoft Corporate Vice President of Windows Phone Software Ted Meyerson would pick up the slack, taking on some Windows operating system responsibilities. Larson Green took control of the company's Windows business in November of last year after the departure of Steve Sinofsky. While Microsoft competes to complete its reorganization, Matrick's former team is reporting directly to Ballmer. Sources also told Bloomberg that Matrick was the one who would have controlled Microsoft's hardware engineering if he hadn't left for Zynga. So, Julie, we hope you get the job. Work.
That was the weirdest way you said that. We hope you get the job.
Yes, gotta get the job. Work.
Work.
You have to do the snap.
There you go. I snapped.
Thank you. Give that girl some love.
I used to not be able to snap. It was very weird. Like, I just couldn't snap.
Wow. You know what? I'm not going to even ask.
I don't know. I'm weird.
She's actually there snapping her fingers.
Well, yeah. You know, it's cool I can snap now. You know. Stuff happens. All right. I had something I wanted to do, but I lost it, so I'm going to do this one anyway. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll probably find the other one I want to do in a minute. Okay, so Google actually did a study about who, you know, what videos were actually viewed for gaming videos, like which kinds were seen the most, and this is what they said. A new study released by Google related to its YouTube video service concludes that community-created gaming videos represent 47% of views, while pre-launch material uploaded from publishers and PR make up 50% of views. Google report also reveals that 1 in 3 views are from a smartphone or tablet. Google calls these second screen views and suggests that they are watching while playing the game for guidance and tips. I've done that, actually.
I have, too.
Yes, I have. The study also noted that 95% of consumers watch gaming videos on YouTube. The report is a confirmation that Let's Play videos and other community-created content are very important to consumers and likely steer them towards or away from a product. Nintendo earlier this year decided that it would put copyright claims on some Let's Play videos, which irritated the gaming community to no end. Oh, come on, Nintendo. Stop being a jerk. A month after making that play, Nintendo backed off. Uh-huh. At the time, Ubisoft said that they had no plans to put restrictions on Let's Play videos, noting that the company was lucky to have the unsolicited attention of gamers who, in turn, helped drive the community toward their products. Exactly. Why are you trying to put stipulations and restrictions on community-created content regarding your games when we're drawing attention to your games?
I think that has to do with it's a Western thing over here. I don't know that a lot of people overseas make a lot of videos. Of course, YouTube has everything locked off, so they might. Mm. But I think that's an American thing, and maybe they just don't understand why. And that's why they're like, no, you don't need to see it. That's what I think. That's my personal opinion.
That might be true.
So, and maybe they'll start to see the value in it, because I'm telling you, some commentary over some Mario Brothers would be hilarious. All right. Well, Google Glass is already about to be obsolete, as is the Apple iWatch, all the good stuff we keep telling you about. There are some contact lenses coming out, telescopic contact lenses. According to VentureBeat, this the wearable technology conversation, of course, has been dominated for months by Google Glass and Apple's iWatch. Other devices are being developed that could blow those out of the water, and new contact lens coming out by a company called Optics Express would allow you to zoom in on anything in your field of view.
What? A contact lens?
Contact lenses?
Dude, we are so like up in the matrix right now.
Right? They're saying it could be used to help people with impaired vision or be used to help intelligence officers collect data. The contact lens is being developed by Eric Tremblay and the folks at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne? It looks like Louisiana, but Lausanne, Switzerland, and at the University of California in San Diego. Funding for the project is coming from, you guessed it, U.S. Defense Research Organization, DARPA. Who else but them would find a use for something like this? The lens is just over a millimeter thick, has an unmagnified area in the middle. The middle area is surrounded by a ring of optics that magnify the main view 2.8 times. Shutters made of liquid crystal are used to block either the regular view or the magnified view, so you can only see one or the other. So you can't be looking around and seeing both zoomed in on one eye and far away in the other.
Oh, that would be crazy. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how weird that would be?
Well, my real eyes were like that so before I had LASIK, so yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, jeez, man.
Had to be either real close or far away. Yeah.
That would be fucking me up. Ooh, that would be messing me up.
Sorry, y'all at work. Sorry. It's
sorry.
A short. Bosses are not there today. Woo, sorry. Wow. Yeah.
That kind of
F-bomb.
I'm just going to, okay.
Hands in the air. Okay, so thus far, the lens has been tested on a model of the human eye and has been built into a pair of Samsung 3D TV glasses to give it the electricity to switch between magnified and regular vision. While the idea is smart, the team developing the lens hasn't made the progress it would like to at this point. Although the magnified images were clearly visible in our test, they say, acuity fell short of design specification. While image quality fell short of design goals, we have identified all refractive achromatization. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, chromatization. Thank you. They said this approach that offers improved performance is the basis of ongoing research. The device does pose some more privacy concerns, the same ones as Google Glass does, but perhaps it's a little less egregious because it's connected to the Internet, or it isn't connected to the Internet, like Google Glass is. How long before contact lenses are as connected as glass? I say probably when it comes out. Since the military is doing it, it's going to instantly be connected to the Internet. And how are they going to get electricity to this thing? Is it going to be solar powered? Is it going to use the body to draw power from?
I was actually about to mention that. If it used the body's own electric currents to do that, that'd be freaking awesome. Notice I said freaking this time. That would be freaking awesome. But the only thing is, some people's electrical currents in their body are already messed up. So people
like
may...
like mine?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So they may need to try to take a look into alternative sources if that's what they're doing. But I'm a little, like, is there going to be a tiny battery in it somewhere that you're going to have to change with, a little tweezers and a microscope and stuff like that? I don't know.
This one, I couldn't have these because as soon as I put them in, and then I'm blind, you know. My contacts done shocked me. I can't see. This is kind of scary. On one hand, it's great, like they said, for undercover officers. They could gather intel and nobody would never know anything. They're just looking around normal, talking to people. And military, if anybody, again, spies, and they do exist, people, don't kid yourselves. You know, they could gather intel. Every time I say that, I keep thinking about that poor man. Do you remember, I think you still lived here at that time, that man that they caught on the freeway and he was saying that he was a spy and then they couldn't find any information that I believe he really was.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, if honestly, they probably just wiped him out of the system to be like, nope, we don't know him. Sorry.
We can't find any ID and he's gone and then they shot him.
Yep.
I believe he was the real deal. That's scary.
Possibly.
Y'all be careful out there, you spies. You can't hide in my house though. Unless you got some cookies. I'm easy to
bring. I'll bring peanut butter cookies. Is that good?
You're not a spy. You can come in anyway.
That's true. Can I bring peanut butter cookies anyway?
You have to bring peanut butter cookies.
Oh. Dang. That's harsh, man. You can come anyway, but you better bring some peanut butter cookies.
You brings cookies when you come.
You better bring some cookies with you.
Are you ready? It's your turn.
Oh, my bad, yo. I didn't even realize that. My bad, yo. All right. So what I actually did want to talk about was everybody knows that games can be used for a variety of purposes. You can use it for training. You can use it for therapy. You can use it for fun, right? Well, there's been some research out there that has said that active gaming therapy may be beneficial to stroke victim recovery, which I can totally see how that's possible, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And here we go. According to new research, recovering stroke patients who use video games as therapeutic exercise are more physically capable of movement compared to patients who use traditional motor therapy. The research comes from Dr. Dr. Revi Rand, an occupational therapist of Tel Aviv University's Stanley Steyer School of Health Professions at the Sackler Faculty of Medicine. That's a long name. And a team of researchers from Sheba Medical Center. The research was funded by a Marie Curie International Reintegration Grant. For her research, Rand organized two groups of 20 participants each. One group used traditional therapy, while the other used Xbox 360 Kinect, PlayStation 3, and Nintendo Wii games throughout the sessions. After 3 months, both groups showed physical improvements, but the video game playing group continued to improve grip strength for the next 3 months. Besides the physical benefits, researchers found that game players were more likely to continue with therapy because they found the experience enjoyable. 92% of participants playing video games said they enjoyed their therapeutic exercises, while only 72% of those given traditional therapeutic exercises said they enjoyed it. Rand says that interactive video games require the user to move around continuously throughout play. Her study, which she recently presented at the 9th International Conference on Disability, Virtual Reality, and Associated Technologies, revealed that active game players perform twice as much arm movements during each play session as patients who use traditional therapy. She also points out that movement in these kinds of games is goal-directed compared to traditional therapy, which aims to simply exercise bodily movements. Ren also suggested that playing games can have positive benefits on brain plasticity, which is a mental change that occur in patients who have suffered from brain damage caused by stroke, which are needed for the brain's recovery. Simply by moving deliberately to accomplish a specific goal results in certain cognitive benefits. That's actually awesome. And now let me go ahead and try to expand on that a little bit. Another reason besides it being fun, you know, besides that, you know, you do move a lot more whenever you're playing a game, and it doesn't feel like you're doing anything. It doesn't feel like you're exercising. But the fact that you get so much benefit from it is because not only does it engage your body, but it engages your mind as well. And in stroke mm-hmm. victims, a lot of times what happens is some of times the neurons kind of cease functioning the way they should. They kind of get jacked up a little bit. And if you
because the blood flow has been cut off and
exactly,
yeah, you can reroute those synapses.
If you can reroute the synapses, the quickest way to do that is by trying, you know, by experience, by trying to move your body. And if you're doing a game, it can kind of work with the synapses in your brain, work with the neurons, and it can actually reroute things and make it easier for you to regain at least some mobility in whatever extremities had been paralyzed. So I think it's awesome. And that was just a whole bunch of science up in here, y'all, for y'all.
You are such a scientist. I love it.
I love science, yo.
All right. I got a short one, and then I got another one for you guys. All right. So.
Sounds good, yo.
You lovely people out there who love you some Halo, like from the very bottom of your little frag grenade-y heart, will be happy to hear that 343 is announcing the Halo 4 Global Championship. Championship, I always say chip white cookies. Championship and the big prize, $500,000. I got to get my Halo skills up to par.
Dang! You can share with me.
Now that's not all at once. It's a summer long tournament. The grand prize is actually $200,000, and it begins at the Rooster Teeth Expo in Austin on July 5th, which I am not going to because that is in a few days, and it comes right after the 4th, and that's a very dangerous time to be on the road. So this year we will be foregoing the Rooster Teeth visit. I love you, Rooster Teeth. We're not coming. I'm sorry. You hear that on air. I'm sorry. It'll also be held on Xbox Live if you can't get down to the Rooster Teeth Expo on July 15th. Qualifying rounds will be held before a two-day finals competition in Seattle. from the 31st of August to the 1st of September. You can register for the Halo 4 Global Championship at their official website. What's that website you say? Halo. There are two ways to take part online through Xbox Live and at live events. Also, again, at the Rooster Teeth Expo, the live tournament at Gamescom in Cologne, Germany will also be 21st to 25th of August. Six finalists from each of the live events and 20 from the online qualifiers will receive an expenses, it doesn't say all expenses, just says expenses paid trip to participate in the finals in Seattle. So you better have you some cash on hand. That means they're going to cover some stuff. Like they might cover your flight, but then you have to find somewhere to stay, and that's not an easy thing to do in Seattle.
It's really not.
If you're not us, that is.
Right? We could be like, yo, we need a place to crash.
Well, Fluffy Cakes admits you to lots of places, is all I can
yes,
say.
And so does Badonkadonk.
That's right. Gets you in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Okay. More updates on the Ubisoft breach yesterday, which we told you about before anybody else. Yes. See, that's the beauty of a live show. We can break news when we get it. We ain't got to wait. We told you about it. You were listening. We told you to change your password. You right there. We said change your password. You did not change it. Mm-hmm. Okay, how did I scroll and lose my story and I'm on the same page? Okay, no, seriously. Okay.
What in the world is wrong with you today?
Man, I don't even know. I got plenty of sleep. Maybe they had too much sleep. I think I operate better when I'm just a little bit tired. Anyway, online security issues continue to be an issue for Ubisoft. They told customers, they did discover, as we told you yesterday, unauthorized access to some of the online systems through one of the publisher's websites using stolen credentials. Ubisoft said it discovered the breach recently, but it did not say when it had actually happened. The company said, we instantly took steps to close off this access to begin a thorough investigation with relevant authorities, internal and external security experts as well, and to start restoring the integrity of any compromised systems, the company said. They also, as we told you yesterday, were experiencing a whole lot of downtime, runtime errors all over the site when I went to load it up, just crazy. Customers' personal information was taken, including their names, email addresses, and encrypted passwords. Publisher said no credit card or debit card information was taken, as we told you, and they are recommending, again, you change your password for the Uplay site as well as any other service where you use the same password. And again, they're apologizing and said it was unrelated to any other security problems or publishers that you may have encountered recently. So it's not your PlayStation that did it. Don't be mad at Sony again. Yeah, we told you yesterday to change your password. I'm doing it again because if you have forgotten, please go change your password. We don't want your stuff stolen. We do like you. We're mean to you, but we like you.
I don't know about all that.
Okay.
I don't know about all that liking stuff. What you talking about? Is it my turn?
Right. It'd be your turn.
Okay, okay. But y'all, we did tell y'all to change y'all's password.
Change your flipping passwords, people.
That's right. Freaking flipping. Not the other word.
Yeah, not that other word.
Sorry about that. All right. So apparently Sony's taking another jab at Microsoft, which is kind of funny.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
Yeah. In a recent interview with Up at Noon, Sony Computer Entertainment America boss Jack Tretton says that Microsoft finally got the message on DRM. Responding to a question about Microsoft's decision to reverse its DRM policies related to Xbox One, Tretton said, I guess they got the message, adding that Sony spent a lot of time carefully listening to the consumers and to developers. Tretton also insisted that Sony's pricing and positions on DRM and used games related to the PlayStation 4 were long settled well before E3 because Sony is a publicly traded company. And this is a quote for you. A multi-billion dollar publicly traded corporation makes those decisions months and months in advance. We felt we had a great value proposition that people would respond to, but you don't know how you're going to be positioned against your competition. We felt good about it regardless of where our competition came in, but lower is better than higher. We learned that with the PlayStation 3. He also talked about how he personally felt after the Sony E3 press conference. The industry does this. He's doing like the roller coaster hand wave thing. And to really survive, you have to stay even keeled. I try to keep myself from getting too down, but also try to keep myself from getting too up. I really had to allow myself to enjoy the moment for a couple of minutes after the press conference finished. And then you kind of have to shake it off and say, okay, day one of a 10-year battle, and we have to win the consumer support one consumer at a time, so it's back in the trenches.
All righty then.
So he kind of like jabbed Microsoft in the eye a little bit and like twisted it.
A little bit?
Yeah.
That was a lot of jabbing. Wow.
That was hilarious, is what that was.
They are not playing around with them. They keep taking every opportunity they can. They're fighting dirty.
Well, you know what? Microsoft deserves it. I'm sorry. They do. They didn't listen to anything. They don't listen to consumers. They don't, you know, they don't have the consumers in mind. And then they had that jack-off. What's his name again?
Don Matrick, who left and went to Zynga. Are you still with me? Did you go? Hello.
I'm here. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, you got quiet. You got quiet.
I was like, what? Was she talking to me? Like,
I said, you said what's his name? I said, Don Matrick, and he left and went to Zynga.
And I went, yeah. Oh, as you were talking.
Anyway, moving along. Okay, so you people who have yourselves an Apple TV, we are not smoking anything, I swear. The next video content service to appear on your Apple set-top box or your Apple TV could be Time Warner Cable. This is according to a Bloomberg report and some information they got from an anonymous source, air quotes here. If true, those that want access to Time Warner Cable programming on Apple TV would still need to subscribe to a monthly cable TV package. However, the user interface for the Apple TV will likely be far better than what you currently use through your rented cable box. Last month, Apple added a handful of new services to Apple's TV list of apps, including HBO Go, anime service, Crunchyroll, and Watch ESPN. Also, they added concert service, Kello, and Sky News, which is the UK news. Why would we want Sky? Yeah. It was a nice move for Apple TV owners who patiently waited for the company to catch up to the many other streaming media boxes that already offer such services. According to VentureBeat, it now appears that the streaming service for Time Warner Cable will also get added to the list. TWC's appearance on Apple TV would hardly be a surprise, they're saying. The cable TV provider already gives its paying subscribers access to live channels on the iPad, provided you're connected to your home internet connection, that is. TWC's live channels are also available on Roku. And more recently, the company announced it would make over 300 live channels available to Xbox 360 owners, too. We already know that we're having a souped-up cable box. I don't know why they felt the need to remind us yet again.
You know what? This is what I'm saying. They deserve it.
I would prefer them just give me a console. Why don't they? I said this before. We need a choice. You can have the cable box or you can have one that's just straight gaming. I don't really need the rest of the stuff. I need straight gaming all day, every day. Stop it.
Air day.
And I need for everybody. HBO. Yes, right. I need for HBO to go a la carte so I can drop all the rest of my cable channels because I just need HBO. I need Encore, Stars, and I need the Cooking Channel. That's it. Maybe HGTV.
No, sometime. You know what? I think I'm just happy with the Food Network.
Well, that's what I mean when I call it the Cooking Channel. I call it the Food Network.
Oh.
They cook on there. They cook on that channel all the time. That's all they do. So,
or you had a little Jamaican of it. They cook on there. What was that?
No, that was not Jamaican. No, ma'am.
That was Jamaican.
No, it wasn't.
Bust it out, then. Let me hear it. Come on.
I don't know any Jamaican. I know some West Indian. There's a difference. You're going to get yourself cut. Jamaican people actually do cut people.
Well, you know what?
About that.
You have to get your accent straight. I might like it. I don't know.
Not this kind of cutting. It's a machete. It's not that. Oh. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Anyway.
I did not just snort. I promise.
Yes, you did. During the daytime. Y'all heard it.
Anyway. All right. Do you have another one? Because I lost mine.
That's what you get for scrolling. And yes, I do have another one all ready to go.
I did not scroll. I was flipping through tabs and now I got
that's
plenty
what
tabs.
You get for scrolling. You should never, ever scroll. Okay. Our Japanese listeners out there, because apparently we have some according to that lady from a couple of years ago.
No, that was China.
Oh, it was China? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry, our Chinese listeners and our Japanese listeners, to confuse the two of you. But do have some news for you. Your Xbox One will be launched in 2014, as if we didn't know that was coming. But Microsoft has confirmed that the Xbox One will not release in Japan this year. Should be on the market early 2014, so probably sometime around New Year's for us. They spoke in an interview with 4Gamer, Microsoft Japan president, Yasuyuki Higuchi or Smith, Mr. Smith, there we go, described his home territory as Tier 2 country. there's clearly no judgment involved in that statement beyond a sensible measuring of market demands, given the sales of previous Xboxes in Japan. According to GI.biz, Higuchi has promised that the one won't be delayed too much from the North American release. He says previously Microsoft had published a list of launch countries for the new console with 21 nations listed. Japan was not on that list, so Higuchi's confirmation comes with no surprise. Other countries in Asia are expected to see the one launch in late 2014. Ouch. You don't really need to try to push to get that out on time. I think they're a little bit more hardcore than we are over there. They die for their games. Not that I'm advocating that, but they are serious business, and you are denying them their Xbox. Then again, you might save some lives. So, are you ready? If you're not, I could do it again.
You can, okay. I mean, I'm ready, but you can go.
Go ahead. You can
okay,
go ahead.
Cool then. Undead Labs has resubmitted a game, State of Decay, to the Australian Classification Board. Now, we all know that Australia has some seriously hardcore guidelines when it comes to games, right? They don't allow certain things. They are really, really hardcore, like super hardcore. So here we go. GameSpot Australia is reporting that Undead Labs has resubmitted its zombie-themed action game, State of Decay, to the Australian Classification Board. Last week, we reported that the game was effectively banned by the ratings board for containing illicit or prescribed drug use related to incentives or rewards.
Yes, which we thought was insane.
What? Okay. Prior to this resubmission, State of Decay's in-game medications included methadone, morphine, amphetamine, stimulants, and acetaminophen, ibuprofen, codeine, aspirin, trucker pills, painkillers, and Tussin. But in a new post on the Undead Labs Facebook page, the developer said that the freshly resubmitted game replaces all drugs with, and quotes here, supplements. The developer hopes that this game will be given will give the game an R18 plus rating so that they can release it in the region. Since its North American release, the game has sold over 500,000 copies on Xbox Live Arcade in just 3 weeks, making it the fastest selling original game on XBLA to date. Supplements, quotes.
Supplement. I wanted to play that one. So it is out. Why do I keep thinking it's not due out yet?
I don't know.
Of course it's out.
because it's
on Ouya. It was originally on Ouya. I may have to see if we can't get us a hold of one of them. I wanted to play that badly because
I don't really play Xbox, so that's all you.
Well, I don't get to play my Xbox either. Baby Natrix just has taken it over. It's all about Minecraft these days. She don't give me my Xbox. Look, I'm like, I'm all good.
No, she's not. She will fight you over that. That girl is addicted.
We did fight. You're going to give me my controller. I just want to play one more minute. Just one more minute. Okay, so there's all kind of game sales going on. Normally we do sales on Friday, and I'm not going to really give you a whole lot of sales, but I will tell you that both Xbox and Sony are battling it out right now to sell you stuff. Lego Lord of the Rings and Batman has been discounted on the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Sorry.
I know you had to do it. There's also some sales on like some Kinect Sports Season 2, Rockstar Table Tennis. And this is going to be going on this whole week. You can also get Borderlands 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Max Payne 3 for just $8.99 each, and that's in Euros, Euros and 99 quid or whatever. They also are selling Defense Grid, The Awakening, which is 4 years old. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, it's free. Far Cry is going to be $8.99. Far Cry 3, if you haven't played that. The original Crysis for $4.49. And let's see, Mass Effect for the same price. Oh, wait a minute. Wow. Yeah, Prey, Bulletstorm, Dragon Age Origin? What? Dragon Age okay, I'm so not talking to y'all for the rest of the day. Dragon Age Origins has been waiting. Divinity 2, The Dragon Knight Saga. You got Command & Conquer, Red Alert. I said I wasn't going to tell you all these. I had to. It's Forth. Some of you are going to be trying to stay home and be safe. Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway. You also have today, I believe this is today, today only, Lego Batman 2, which we told you about, Lego Lord of the Rings, Hasbro Game Night 3, Monopoly Streets, Kinect Sports Season 2, and your Rockstar Table Tennis. And those are ranging from $2 to $8, respectively. Sony has counter-attacked with their own sale. And here's what they've got on sale if you got a PlayStation. You got Oddworld, Stranger's Wrath, Munch's Odyssey, and Stranger Box. I Am Alive is also on sale. That one's $7.99.
I Am Alive?
Yeah, I Am Alive. That's a, and they're calling theirs a post-apocalyptic sale. All these are post-apocalyptic games, but I think you wake up and you're like in California and it's after some kind of cataclysmic thing that has happened and the currency is water. Or something like that. I can't remember. I always wanted to play it, but
you mean like Water World, where the
water, as in there's no water. There's no water, so people are trying to take the water.
What movie was it that the currency, like the people paid in water, like water was most precious? Was it Mad Max? Is that what I'm thinking of?
It might have been Mad Max or one of those knockoffs that came off in later years. I can't remember. You got your Quantum Theory, your Armageddon Riders, Doom 3 BFG Edition, Dead Space Super Bundle, Dead Space Extraction, Dead Space Ignition, Dead Space 2, Dead Space 2 Super Bundle, Dead Space 3, The Last Guy, Dead Nation, Tokyo Jungle, Motorstorm Apocalypse, From Dust, and plus I Am Alive Bundle, Shoot Mini Robots, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon Fruit, and Far Cry 3 plus Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon Fruit. Over on your PlayStation. You got plenty to do to keep you busy. If you're going to drink, stay inside, play some games. I kind of like that they made this a post-apocalyptic thing, but I don't know why we're going with that theme for 4th of July.
You know, maybe it's all the explosions from the fireworks.
I don't know. Maybe that's going to freak some people out. Somebody's going to be drunk and playing one of these games, and the firecrackers are going to be going off, and they're going to freak out.
Okay, but they're just themselves. They'll be like, ah!
Exactly. But this one is going to be going on a little bit longer through July the 17th. So PlayStation Plus subscribers, you get an extra 10% off what's already discounted. So they're ranging from $8 to $30 in some spaces here on that list. Warner Brothers has also discounted all of its iOS games. So you got plenty of gaming to do. Don't sit there and be bored. Eat your barbecue and listen to your... I think I've lost... I'm not that enamored with the fireworks anymore.
I'm not either. I don't really have any need to see them, but the barbecue I'll take.
Yes. That and they're now right outside my window, literally. Like all the... I'm next to downtown now, so I don't have to leave. You know, I used to have to leave to go downtown. Yeah, I don't have to go anywhere now. I just open my windows and go, ooh, pretty! Hand me that juice. Ooh, pretty!
No, dude. I'm going to my parents, and they live way out in the boonies. I mean, way out in the boondocks, right? And they're going to have their own little, quote, fireworks display, and they're just, my dad and fire, not a good combination. So I'll be leaving before then.
Fire bad, tree pretty?
Yeah, pretty much. Fire bad, tree pretty. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
I think I'm going to stay myself indoors. I had some bad feelings.
No, I don't have a very good feeling either, but I got to go see the parents. You know how it is.
I'm staying in. I'm going to mind my own beeswax. All right. It's your turn, isn't it?
I think so. Is it my turn?
It'd be your turn.
Okay, so a petition has been made to urge Nintendo to make Wii, Wii U, and 3DS region-free. Nearly 10,000 fans have signed a petition. I don't know where that came from. Nearly 10,000 fans have signed a petition on change.org asking Nintendo to end region locking on Wii, Wii U, and 3DS, according to IGN. The petition begins by citing Microsoft's recent change of heart on DRM and region locking related to the Xbox One and Sony's plan to make the PS4 region-free as well. And this is a quote for you. Following Microsoft's U-turn on its DRM policies, including making the Xbox One region-free alongside the PS4, Nintendo is now left as the only major console manufacturer that maintains a region-locking policy. This practice is restricted to customers, including those who only play foreign games not available domestically, speak foreign languages, serve in the military, or otherwise travel or live abroad. If anything, region-free policies encourage additional sales of legitimate software that cannot otherwise be obtained in a given country. The money would still go to Nintendo, the developers and the distributors behind each game. The petition also thanks Nintendo for its efforts to release games sooner in regions outside Japan, but notes petitioners don't want region-free consoles just so we can purchase and play some games earlier than usual. Instead, they seek region-free consoles so that they can exercise the consumer rights to choose what games we play. The petition ends by asking Nintendo to release firmware updates for all three systems that make them region-free. You can actually find the petition on change.org, and I agree. I really think that I don't think any console should be region-locked. I really don't. I don't see any reason to do that.
I don't either, actually. I'm going to have to look up something, try to find out why are they region-locked.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I think they're that's kind of like a second step in maybe the rating things, because, you know, we're the only ones that uses our rating system. Everybody else has their something else. So maybe that's why.
But see, the region lock thing is like, even in games that could be played in everywhere, you can't, like, it comes out in Japan first and then comes out in the U.S. I can kind of understand why that happens, as in, like, the amount of servers that you would need to turn on or something like that. But I just don't understand region locking. I really don't. I mean, are you seriously, you should leave it up to the countries themselves as to whether or not a game's going to be allowed to be sold there.
True. Very, very true.
I don't think Nintendo needs to be able to play and be able to play all omnipotent being and be like, oh, well, this game is only going to be available here but not there. So, ha-ha!
Yes, it's not even just Nintendo that does it. All of them have been region-locked. Because I know some of the Dot Hack Infection games was one of the reasons why I wanted a PlayStation. And some of them were not going to be allowed here at one point. So I was like, I can't play through, like, 1 through 5 and then skip to 12 and, you know, need all of them. And they're like, well, there's no subtitles. I don't care. I will learn Japanese.
It makes a good point, though. People who are in the military, they travel a lot. They're still U.S. citizens. They're still from the Americas. They're still from America. But, you know, if they move to another country and they're using their resources, they can't access the games.
Very, very true. Poor babies. All right. Ubisoft is all over the news. Like, whoa. They said they are convinced that second screen gaming is the future.
The future.
The future. Chief Executive Officer at Ubisoft, Yves Guillemot, had a chance to speak with Games Industry International, and he says he's convinced that it's the future. What I like about second screen play is its accessibility, which means different types of people play. Those who don't know how to play with the controller or don't like to play with it can use touch, so that's the first good element. So the second is it gives you the opportunity to play from outside the home with your friends who are playing from their homes. He says, so I'm in the airport, and I can play with my friends using my iPad if I have a good connection, which is highly unlikely in the airport. We think this is going to open lots of new possibilities to the industry and to the type of gameplay that can occur. Now, it would make sense if each studio was creating its own app for its own title, but under Ubisoft's directed development system, each title is made with the multiple studios working in concert. And I have to answer
that.
My phone. I have to answer that.
Okay. All
You're
right.
Next.
All right. I got the next one. Okay, guys. So I'm next. Okay. So next gen. Okay. This is a story on GamePolitics.com. Why was that hard to say? I don't know. And it's talking about next gen console pricing. An interesting report from Ars Technica compares the pricing of the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 with consoles released in America all the way back to 1977 with the release of the Atari 2600. At E3, Sony announced that the PS4 would retail for $399, while Microsoft announced that the Xbox One would cost $499. These prices might seem high, but Ars took the prices of all the consoles released from 1977 to 2013 and adjusted them for inflation, putting together a chart that shows that most consoles cost consumers between $336 and $1,200. According to the chart, the average console price adjusted for inflation comes out to $498.63. Jeez Louise. Based on those numbers, the Xbox One is only $1 above the average price of a console, while the PS4 is a heck of a lot cheaper. They didn't say heck, but I censored myself. Of course, if you want some of that motion-sensing magic that Kinect offers the Xbox One, then you'll need to buy a PlayStation I, which puts you right in the same pricing neighborhood when included in the console. So,
how come we haven't heard anything about this PlayStation I thing before now? Are they trying to get us?
I guess so, but dude, I didn't know about it either. But this is bull crap. I mean, $498.63 for a console? Are you kidding me?
Well, remember, the PlayStation 3 was $600 when it came out, so...
I don't care. Now, this is talking about the average price when adjusted for inflation is $498. That is a lot of money for the average person. That is a lot of money. Y'all must be out your minds, you know?
Oh, from yesterday. You out of your mind. I watched that last night, by the way. Just to hear that line. All right. I got a bunch of shorties. Those of you who missed playing Limbo, you should pay special attention, Snow, because this is for you. Playdead has announced the release of Limbo for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. You can download it for a mere pittance.
Why is that for me?
Because it's on iPhone, you iPhone chick, you. It's $4.99 on the App Store. In an effort to let Limbo reach as many players as possible, Playdead is now ready to deliver a seamless touch-based experience on the iPad 2 and higher, iPad Mini, the iPhone 4S and higher, and the latest generation of iPod Touch. You can learn more about the game at limbogame.org. I don't know why it's a .org. Why did y'all care it's .org? All right, now I'm going to go really old school for some of you folks. RuneScape 3. I know, your head hurt. You went, oh, my God. Okay.
Wiki old school.
Just wrong. Jagex, the creators of hugely popular Guinness World Record-holding free-to-play adventure game RuneScape, is excited. They're always excited to announce the highly anticipated launch of RuneScape 3, which will take place coming July 22nd. This is the biggest upgrade in the game's acclaimed 12-year history. RuneScape 3 brings next-generation browser technology, new gameplay features, and heralds in groundbreaking player-driven content. RuneScape 3 will mark the massively multiplayer online game's transition to cutting-edge browser technology of using HTML5. This will enable any player to embark upon the world's biggest adventure without the requirement for Java nor any plugins. That's kind of sexy. The use of proprietary HTML5 engine allows for significant enhancement to the player experience, such as improved graphics, longer draw distances, an upgraded camera system, and super audio. The addition of seasonal high scores will allow all players in the community to compete on weekly and monthly leaderboards. The launch of RuneScape 3 will also see the players' decisions directly shaping the future of Glinor. I'm going to need y'all to stop those crazy names, really. Just name it.
Say it again. That was funny.
Glinor. That's how it's spelled. I'm going to need y'all to just name it Jonesville, you know, Rabbit Town, something. I don't know. And its inhabitants, of course, and the scenery will also be affected for the very first time. It will also mark the beginning of RuneScape's inaugural community-focused world event, the Battle for Lumbridge. In addition to the technological leap, RuneScape 3 sees the world of Glinor enter the sixth age, a significant new milestone in RuneScape's vast heritage as the gods of RuneScape return to re-exert their authority. This is one of the few MMOs I actually didn't play. It says so far they
say
have
it again.
Received.
Say it again.
Okay, it says so far they have received fantastic praise from their passionate RuneScape community when they first revealed the development of RuneScape 3. So they are thrilled to be able to confirm that July 22nd launch date for the most significant update in the game's history. That's from Phil Mansell, who's the executive producer of RuneScape 3. He says, our pioneering use of HTML5 technology continues to place us at the forefront of browser-based gaming innovation and will result in truly amazing gaming experience for players. RuneScape continues to go from strength to strength, and with the launch of RuneScape 3 this year, we will no doubt continue on that upward trajectory. That's from Mark Gerhard, who's the CEO of Jagex. I like to give him those dramatic voices. Yes, it did, didn't it? Upward trajectory needs to be said angrily. It's upward trajectory. Since we have a solid line in most of the ambitious, innovative content and groundbreaking technical innovations ever, all of which will be coming to fruition over the course of the next few months. It's going to be an incredibly exciting time for the community, both past and present. You're trying to bow us with big words, and we know what all of them mean. You are lying. Anyway, no, they're not. RuneScape is free to play, and it is recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records. And I wish I don't know where the one that they sent us that I kept is for this purpose. Remember we had a Guinness Book? Guinness Book sent us the gamer one?
Yeah.
Which some of you won copies of. Yes, I can't tell you if that's true, what they got the world record for. Anyway, it's a medieval fantasy world. I have not played it, so I can't tell you if it's good or bad. You can go over to runescape.com if you want to play. It is kind of pretty. Looks like they have a sizable community right now. There's about 60,000 people playing right now. If you want to go jump in. You got nothing else to do. You're off work early today, and you're ready to eat your barbecue. Some of you already ate your barbecue last night. You got like a big plate or big thing of it. Or if you're like my family, they make like two or three trays of there's just nothing but meat.
Dude, yes, I love it, man. Carnivore right here.
And there's like a punch bowl full of potato salad and. They already made that last night, okay, 2 days before, so that when 4th of July comes, it's all about eat, drink, and be merry, and, you know, duck bullets, because people will be shooting. This is Texas. All right. It be your turn, R. I think I'm going to try
what
this.
What was that? Was that an R?
I said it be your turn, R.
Okay.
You heard me, I said R.
All right, so apparently someone plans to track digital sales. So, NPD is a group that's planning to track digital sales. NPD Group announced that it plans to start covering digital sales better than it has in the past. According to a GII report, the research firm already has a cooperation of 9 game publishers. David McQuillan, president of the games group at NPD, recently spoke to Games Industry International about the progress that has been made in setting up the system for a digital POS. POS.
Point of service.
I know, but that's not what I thought.
Behave. I know what you thought. Behave yourself. Point of service.
Okay. Point of service tracking service. While NPD hopes to launch the service soon,
Point of sale. I'm sorry.
Whatever. It was funny anyway. That's not what I thought. There's still a bit of work to do. We fully realize that the market needs the same level of information for the digital categories as exists for the physical business today. SKU level POS. The progress on that effort. It's really hard for me not to giggle when I say that. Okay. The progress on that effort up until recently has been slow and frustrating at times, but today I'm very happy to share that the pace of progress has changed recently. NPD has formed a leader panel to track digital point of sales, a full game, and add-on content downloads. It is an important and critical step towards that goal. Leader panels are often formed as a precursor to a formal launch of a point-of-sale tracking service. You know, I had to say that instead of do the acronym because I was laughing. Anyway, McKillen added that the focus of the new digital tracking system will be on full game downloads and downloadable content for consoles, PCs, and portables. He would not disclose who is participating in the system, though. We aren't at liberty to say who is participating at this time, since we are in the beta. And this new tracking service will be in partnership with research firm EEDAR and will be completely global, unlike its retail data. NPD says that digital tracking will be fully integrated into its monthly reports eventually. This is another quote. The plan is to have digital point-of-sale sales integrated into our U.S. new physical POS retail sales data to enable more efficient analysis for our clients. The timing of when that will happen has not been finalized. Of course, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, including just who is participating in this new tracking system. Without Apple, Google, and Steam, it will be highly unlikely that NPD will ever be able to provide an accurate picture of digital sales.
What'd you say, girl? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that it actually is important to be able to track digital sales so companies can have a better idea of what's good and what's not, because a lot of people are switching to just digital sales. I haven't actually bought a hard copy game in a very long time. So
I like to go buy hard copies of certain games. Like, I love to have a hard copy of The Sims because, as you know, you're a simmer like I am. Mm-hmm. Things go wrong.
That's true.
You got a lot of modded content. I don't have modded content, but I have a lot of, like, houses and stuff that I build. Mm-hmm. With specialized little textures. So I guess in a way it's modded, but it's my own personal mod. So if it doesn't jive well with the new install of an expansion pack, then when you don't have that hard copy, oh, man, Origin is horrible. I'm sorry, EA, your Origin is effed up. It's bad.
It really is.
So to have that hard copy is always a saving grace. But I do have a couple digital copies of Sim games, mostly when they were nice enough to try to give us one. Yeah, every now and again, every blue moon. I like what Steam is doing too, since they're tracking and Steam is allowing you to be able to sell them. That's going to be awesome. And RuneScape, why you no work? Seriously, it's like, would you like to play RuneScape? Yes. And then my screen goes white and nothing happens. Okay, I'm not talking to you anymore, RuneScape. We already broke up. First date over. All right, we got to We got a few minutes. I want to run quick sale by you. I don't want to talk to you now, RuneScape. Don't talk to me. Now it wants to talk. I don't want to talk to you. I said it's over.
Y'all are having a nasty breakup, I can tell.
It's hard. Sometimes you got to do that. Quick sale, HeroCraft, if you've not played it before, is on sale as well on your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. This is the critically acclaimed. You can also get the critically acclaimed Strategy Majesty, the Northern Expansion, for 99 cents. And I play that. I love it. Kept me busy for several hours.
Every time someone says 99 cents, I keep thinking of that Macklemore song.
You know what I think? Because Baby Natrix hates that when they say 99 cents. Why don't they just say a dollar? That is a pet peeve of hers. Okay, so you have that one, and you have SNT World War II on the App Store. Now, if you have a Droid, you can also get the same titles for 99 cents. Yes. And also get Tiny Token Empires, which I also like, for $2.99. Well, it's also 99 cents. It's regular $2.99. And this is only going to last until the day after July 4th. So if for some reason you can't be home, you need to get your gaming on, you got your Droid or your iPod, iPad, Touch, whatever you have with you, you can still play. Those are some really good games. Ben?
Yeah, I got have a short one. Yeah, you want to do another?
I got another.
All right, you go. All right. Put your thing down.
I just wanted to let the Grifers know your day is coming. Xbox One. If you're going to be playing on Xbox One, you may want to rethink that if you like to grife. Xbox One said they will be penalizing you, people. Grife, grief, however you want to call it. It's griefing. You know what? We are all gamers here. We all have our different ways of pronouncing it.
As in, it causes people grief, crazy.
I know what it says, but some people say grifers. I will pronounce it the way I want to. You pronounce it the way you want to. I say grife.
All right, fine. Be that way. Finish up your story. We all
say
grief
when I'm grieving, and it's grifers in this instance. Okay, so anyway, grifers, trolls, or griefers, just to make Snow happy, will be identified by a high-profile reputation score. I will cut you. Made just as visible as your gamer score, the company said. It is all part of a push to get gamers chatting with other players without having the hassle of weeding out and muting troublemakers. So you need a community of folks that aren't screaming vulgarities every 10 seconds, or griefers, or gretters, or harassers. Microsoft Senior Product Manager Mike Lavin told OXM, he said, if people are in your friends list, we're not touching that. We've just made it easier for you to come together. It's really the anonymous side of things in which we're making these investments. Ultimately, if there's a few percent of our population that are causing the rest of the population to have a miserable time, we should be able to identify these folks. Players who enjoy abusing others will gradually find themselves only being paired up with others of similar poor reputation, a hive of scum and villainy that better behaved players will be separated from. So you'll start to see some effects if you continue to play bad or harass other people en masse. You'll probably end up starting to play more with other people that are just like you. Conversely, those who behave as fine, upstanding members of the Xbox One community will be rewarded.
I like that. I like the fact that they're not just punishing the bad guys, but they're rewarding the good guys, too.
Now, this reputation is going to work just like achievements. You want your reputation score as high as you can get it. So there may even be some opportunities where if you participate in some of our community programs, your reputation can get even higher. They're still hammering out the details of how this reputation system will be presented. A numerical score on your profile, stars under your name, Eurogamer-style comment, Neggy. whatever the case, the company seems committed to improving its online environment for its next-gen console. They already actually have this. It's just not highly visible to everybody. It's already available. You know it's time to run the music, right?
Oh, you know what? I was listening. Okay, hold on.
We can still chatter while you do the music.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
But they already have this in place, and I think this is also – some people at Microsoft better start watching their jobs when they do this, because this used to be somebody's job. They go around, and if somebody reported you, you got your account pulled. So I think some people are about to lose their jobs. This is a good and a bad thing. And how are they going to handle people who just decide they're going to report people ad nauseum? How's that going to work?
You know, actually, I think what they should do, because, you know, some people, a griefer might actually report a nice person just because, but they probably need to figure out if it's just one person reporting this person or if it's a group of people. Because if it's just one person, it's probably just bad blood between the two. But if it's more than one person, they might need to look into that person being a griefer.
That would be mine.
But I think that's it. So are we having a show tonight? No, tomorrow night?
It's Wednesday.
I forgot. Are we having a show tomorrow night?
I don't know. It depends on if you get home.
That's true. I don't think I'm going to be here for the news.
I won't be here for the news. I'm going to be passed out with a spoon in my mouth.
this tomorrow, but we'll possibly have a show tomorrow night if my parents let me get home early. We'll see. All right, but you know, on Friday it's business as usual. We'll be back to do the news. I'll be here because I love me some Colry. So I'll be here for the news on Friday, definitely. You can favorite us if you like us, Spirity Stump, because that's how we roll. Say good day.
I said good day to you, madam. I said good day.
The keepers don't walk. Never doubt to see me ever done with different robbers. Never doubt to dive into different different different. Holla, keepers ever see me in the cover though. Come a different number though. Never got a number though. I've been the robber. Come with them and over that. See me them the drama. The time with them and like the guy. I've been the robber. New boot. Kiss the wawa.
Good day, sir. I said good day.